Hello everyone, welcome back to the NBL News Podcast. Today, I only have the one guest with me, Mr. Jackson. How's it going?
I'm good. I'm good after a shortened round of NBL action, but and now we've got the FIBA break coming up, and it'll be a bit of a challenging time for us NBL enjoyers. But yeah, really looking forward to this chat.
What do we got to do for a week? What is there other things to do other than watch the NBL on the weekend? I don't know. It's just
the Cricket World Cup finished, so that's no longer on.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, nothing to watch. But I would have thought this weekend would have been a great weekend of NBL action. But of course, we associate ourselves with FIBA, and they have a break for. I didn't even see what qualifiers they have. Maybe they have Europe. I was looking.
It has nothing to do with
no Asia.
Asia,
Americas. Pretty sure no Africa. Europe there may have been, but even then, like, I know it's NBL associated with FIBA, but that's the way it is. Let's go through the week. Was it any big news stories coming from the past 7 days, I would say? But I guess the main story that I posted about yesterday is Chris Gauling. I don't know if I think he is the MVP candidate, but he's obviously top five. Like, I made the post yesterday saying, you know, he's MVP. The crazy thing to me that I found out when I was making his post is that this is the highest points per game he's averaged for 10 years, 10 seasons. Yep. Like, he hasn't averaged over 18.5 points per game since he played for the Melbourne Tigers, which is absolutely crazy to me. He's aging like fine wine at 35 years old, isn't he? So 35 points at 35 years old against the Kings. No Clark, no Dele, Huck Porty and Travis coming off injuries. He's really up to step up this last few weeks, and he beats arguably the second best team in the competition with a full squad other than Jordan Hunter. And, you know, it was all CG in that second half that ended up, how many points was it? 67, 64 in that second half they ended up scoring United?
It was in the 60s.
Yeah. But that was led on the back of Chris Gauling's huge, huge performance. And people I can't believe people are questioning that he's not even a top five candidate. Like, what are you watching? He's the best player on the best team in the NBL right now. How is he not a candidate, let alone top five best player in the league right now? Jackson, where do you have Gauling in the MVP debate? Do you have him first?
I wouldn't have him first just purely because he's a scorer and doesn't do much else. I've looked at stats. His rebounding is the lowest it's been since he's been a development player. He doesn't pass the rock. I mean, he's not Michael Porter Jr. levels of not passing the ball, but
thing is, he doesn't need to. Like, he does what he needs to do, and he excels at it. Like, he does better than what he's supposed to do.
But, like, he's not MVP because there are guys who do a whole lot more than him on other teams. Like, Bryce Cotton is. He scores more, he passes more, he, you know, rebounds hell out of the ball for a guy's size. Like, he does all that. But, like, Gauling, I saw, because I'm writing my second column of the season, and it's on Chris Gauling at the moment. And last, on Sunday night, that was the highest amount of points in a single game he scored since his Melbourne Tigers days. The second highest since his 50-point game. Jeez. So, like,
yeah, and 8 threes,
it's really impressive what he's doing.
Yeah, 8 threes, would that be? I actually don't know, that would be up there in his career highs, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
8 3-pointers, it'd be up there,
yeah, it'd be close,
but
he's shooting threes, like, he's jacking up shots, like, 10.9 attempts a game is the most he's ever had, in like. His entire career, maybe because that's just how basketball has evolved, but like a guy like Chris Gauling, you'd expect it to be up in and around that high, but it's like a full two shots more than what he's ever done. And the thing about that is that he's shooting at a career high of 3-point percentage, except like since he's been at Melbourne United. So it's not like he's jacking up all those shots and missing three quarters of
43% from the field.
Yeah.
Yeah. People forget when you say MVP, people forget, like, we're talking about the most valuable player. We're not talking about the best player. You know, we're talking about the most valuable. So whenever I think of that award, some people don't think, like, if you take that player out of that squad, how, like, where is that team? And going into this matchup, I had Jalen Adams leading the race for MVP, but he didn't show up. And it's a tough one. When you take, obviously, I think the top three right now is Jalen Adams, Cotton, and Cording. I'm not sure if you agree, but
it'd be close to that.
Yeah, Perth's on a roll. They've won five in a row, so Cotton deserves to be in that debate now. I think it deserves to be to a team that is winning. You can't give it to a team like a Parker Jackson Cartwright, who is playing great for the Breakers. So is Anthony Lamb, but they're losing games. They're scoring 65 points against the Illawarra Hawks, which we'll get to later. But I think that's the top three, Adams, Cotton, CG at the moment. You take Gording out of that United squad, do they beat the Kings? No. Do they beat, who else have they beat? Phoenix a few days ago? No.
Yeah.
Because
they beat Illawarra a couple of weeks ago when he had 33 points. No. Because Illawarra is playing exceptionally well.
Same if you take Cotton out of that Perth team. Oh, boy. They would. Can you imagine Perth without Cotton right now? Like, they would not be in a fine position. Whereas Sydney Adams, this is why I've kind of gone low on Jalen Adams a bit. I mean, yeah, he didn't play well, and that's the reason why Kings kind of lost that game. But you can see if he was out of that squad, Kings could still do well. But I just think Gording is leading this debate after that game. If he's dropping 35 points at 35 years old, winning against the second best team in the comp, single-handedly, pretty much in that game, he deserves to be a leading candidate. And people saying he's not, get real. He's the best player on the best team in the league, as if he's not deserved to be in this conversation. And those MVP chants definitely warranted. I don't think I've ever heard actual MVP chance for Chris Gording ever in his career. And I've been to pretty much every United home game. So, he's definitely up there, and it's just so surprising to see him at 35. But it will be interesting to see when Delian Clark comes back to the squad, how his role changes and everything. So that'll be
interesting. I will say with Adams is that he's not the same player as he was two seasons ago. He's still very good, but he's not at that level that he was.
What? Well, why is that, I guess? Like, is that because he's got more pieces? System. Yeah, you can argue that. Is it because there's better pieces now on this King squad? This team is probably better than it was 2 years ago, you could argue. Like, there's a few points there, but he's still the best player on the Kings.
Yeah.
I reckon. And they're second best team in the comp. So that's always how I just go by MVP. It's like top three teams in the league, best player on the team, your MVP candidate. That's kind of how it rolls. And that's just how the award works. So should we move on to the Breakers?
Yes.
Look, that was a dreadful game. I definitely do not recommend watching the Breakers Hawks game again, but I think the main thing out of that is McDowell White out for 6 weeks, up to 6 weeks. I'm hearing that could be a much longer time.
Yeah.
So he was on crutches at the game there at Spark. So does not look good at all. Probably won't be back this year at the minimum. So that's definitely something to keep an eye out. But without him, they just look so lost. And I know McDowell White hasn't been crazy good for the Breakers this year, but they're like 65 points is abysmal, absolutely abysmal, especially against the Illawarra Hawks. I don't know where they rank defensively. I don't know if you know their defensive rating.
Oh, I think Illawarra is dead last.
Yeah,
let me get it.
One of the worst defensive teams, let alone worst teams in the league, and they score 65 points on them. I mean, they're missing McDowell White, they're missing Cheatham, I guess they were missing their next star, Mantas. But still, like, that's a game you have to win at home, especially when you're, like, kudos to them. They beat Tassie. But it's just weird how they go from that game where they play, where they scored 92 on a tough Tassie team.
Yep.
And then the game after, they drop 65 on Illawarra. But then you look at that Tassie game as well. When did McDowell White get injured? Was it the third quarter?
I want to say it was early third quarter.
Yeah. Breakers were up by 20 in the second quarter.
Yep.
They won by 5. So I think even though some people have questioned McDowell White's season, including us, we've probably questioned that he hasn't been as good as last year up until this point. Like, you can see, even though, like, he hasn't been putting up the figures, he is a big-time player on that team. He missed a couple games to start the year as well, where they lost to Brisbane. I'm pretty sure he didn't play that game, second round of the year. So you can see how influential a piece McDowell White is to that Breakers squad. And yeah, they are in real strife. I've put it here. I don't know why I've put it here, but Breakers season over. That's my question to you, Jackson. How do they dig themselves out of a hole without McDowell White, without Cheatham there? 2-7? Three and seven.
Yeah.
How do they dig out of this hole?
Well, they got to get all the other, besides Jackson Cartwright and Lamb, they need all the other guys to get going. Like, those two guys are the top two scorers in the league on average. Then you have to scroll down masses of players before you get to their third player that is actually active at the moment. Cheatham averaged, I want to say, 18 points per game, but he's no longer there. And, like, you have to just keep on scrolling until you get to whoever's available. It's probably Liafa or Delaney or somebody else. But, like, they need their bench to step up. They need Delaney to step up. He's been fairly underwhelming on his return to the league. You know, coming from
We said it Germany, the last couple of weeks too. Yeah.
Yeah. Coming from Germany, and, like, when Cheatham's been out, you think, oh, Delaney will step up into that role and they'll be fine. You know, no, that hasn't happened at all.
Mm.
But he had 5 points against Illawarra. Yeah. 5 points.
Yeah.
Like,
we've mentioned it the last couple of weeks. But, like, this is where he needs to step up. I thought he was in for a huge year because you watched last year in Germany. He was a huge piece, arguably one of the best players on that. I can't remember the German side's name, but they ended up winning, I think, the Europe Cup or Champions League over there.
Yeah.
One of the major European competitions. And I think they're also in the final of the German League as well. They're in the grand final.
I think they were in
series.
The final of the German Cup. I might be wrong, but it was the cup of the league.
Yeah, he was on a successful team last season, no doubt. And he was an influential piece in there. And I thought him coming back here in the NBL, you know, he's in his prime years now. He's coming back better than ever. Coming to a team that's off a grand final experience in the Breakers. And, you know, the two previous years, he was playing big time minutes on a poor team. So he's got to step into his role and be a big piece. But he's just hasn't done anything influential this year to this squad. And I think it's certainly played a factor into losing games against the Hawks and scoring 65 points. Like, he has barely done anything for this team. And, I put the question, is their season over? Can they find a way to win games?
Well, they can win games. We saw that against Tassie, but they're a completely different team now to what they were then when they had McDowell White.
Yeah.
So I was talking earlier about how Cartwright and Lamb are, you know, really high scorers. This is their box score from the game against Illawarra. So they're starting five. Cartwright had 20 points. Lamb had 20. Their next best starter was Mango, who only played 10 and a half minutes with 5. Then it was Liafa with 3, and then Tom Abercrombie with 0. Off the bench, it was Cam Glidden, who was their third high scorer, with 10. Then it was Delaney with 5, who played 31 minutes. Then it was Pinot with 2, who, you know, shouldn't really be playing if they had a full squad. Like, that's their team. They're not evenly spread out. They're too heavily relying on those two imports to, you know, get them up.
Yeah.
Like, it's, they don't have anything around them. Like, Liatha will have big games. Like, Cam Glidden, you know, he's max, he's a good 15 points off the bench, but he's not expected to put up 10 points a night. Like, they need to figure out what they're going to do, because, you know, it's going to get really bad. They might even drop below Illawarra. I don't know, but Illawarra's in that honeymoon phase with Justin Tatum, who is, he could quit tomorrow and be a 100% winning coach in the NBL.
Hey, I was going to say, Jakimus' first game was a win. I remember fielding for Gorgon.
That's right.
One year when he was,
I was there,
he had COVID,
that game.
And it was against United. And they ended up winning that one. And Jakimus was 100% that season. I thought, going into next year, he's a coach. He's got a 100% record. You know, he's got a coach in the next year. And we ended up winning 5 games over the next one and a half seasons. So, well, congratulations to Tatum. And my hot take is already wrong. I said they wouldn't win a game with him as coach, and they win the first game as head coach with him. But either way, it was a horrendous win. You got to take that if you're Illawarra, but that's not a performance you should be happy about either way when you're scoring 69 points in a win. But yeah, like, the Breakers, Hawks, they just showed why they're the two bottom teams in the competition right now. Breakers are in real strife, so see how they dig out of this hole. Hopefully Modi can find a way. Your Perth Wildcats, Jackson, 5 in a row. They keep winning games. They keep proving me wrong. And now I'm saying Bryce Cotton's up there for MVP. Perth's probably the third best team in the league right now. They've just clicked like that. And someone asked me this the other day, what has happened to this Perth team? They asked me, what do you think's happened? And I gave them two words: Hyrum Harris. Come on, give me a spiel about the great man, Hyrum Harris.
So I wrote 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago? Yeah, 2 weeks ago, about Hyrum Harris and how much he's been on the, you know, how good he's been on this Perth Wildcats team. And it's just, you know, the fact that he's this Greg Hire type guy who isn't going to be scoring a lot, but he's going to do all the little things. He's going to be physical. He's going to get offensive rebounds. He's going to crash the glass. He's going to play really good defense. But on top of that, which I don't think Greg really brought during his time to the Wildcats, is that Hyrum Harris is a great playmaker. Hyrum Harris is probably Perth's, besides Bryce, Perth's best playmaker on the court. And it seems weird to say. And you look at the assist numbers and they aren't there, but you watch him play, you watch him direct the offense and how it's run. And when he's on the court, they are 100% better than when he's not on it, unless they're running Jesse, for example, who's this, you know, wily vet who just does everything in the right way. They've gone, like, on their 5-game win streak, before they started their win streak, they were 8th in the league in defensive rating. Now they're 3rd. Like, and that has to do a whole lot with the personnel that they've started to, like, Hyrum had a few DMPs. Jesse had a few DMPs.
And they bring him in, and now they start winning games.
And the thing is that, like, right, we can say, oh, 5-game win streak. How many of those 5 games do you think they actually deserve to win? I want to say, like, 2. Because they didn't deserve to win against United. United choked that, and also some shenanigans involved. Brisbane choked, was it Friday? Saturday night? Friday night?
Saturday. Saturday.
Yep. Saturday, thank you. Brisbane were up by 8 with, I want to say, 5 minutes to go. Yeah. And like, I didn't watch it live. I had to go back and watch the replay to see what happened. And it's, you know, I'm really concerned about Brisbane, because this is 2 games in a row where they've kind of let one slip.
Yeah.
But back on Perth, like, Christian Doolittle, ever since he's gotten, you know, form after his injury, he's probably been Perth's second best player, behind Bryce.
I was going to say, like, I said, this is when they were, before they went in this 5-game win streak, I said the problem with Perth is they don't have that Tarico White. They don't have that next guy when Cotton is not stepping up, when he wasn't stepping up. They didn't have that next guy. And Cotton is stepping up now. But thankfully, another guy is stepping out, and that's Christian Doolittle. Like, he, they needed that Tarico White, that Casey Prather, that, you know, type of guy that just, if Cotton's down, or if you need two of those guys to just go mental in the one game to win, you know, that's what's been happening the last few games now. Christian Doolittle, I don't know what his averages have been in the last five wins, but what do you have? He had 21 against the Taipans, I believe.
He had 20. I think he had 21 against Brisbane.
21 against Brisbane. 21-9-3 against Brisbane. Like, he's got to do this on a consistent level, and he is showing that at the moment. And this is what they need from Perth, and this is what's changing their season around. You get an import like Christian Doolittle. He wasn't a good start to the year, but he's come in comfortably now, and he's just playing his role to utter perfection. And they're winning games because of it. And I didn't think, I still had a little bit of hope for Perth. I still thought the pieces they had internally could work, and really has somehow found a way to use Doolittle, to use guys like Hyrum Harris and Wagstaff in the correct manner. And kudos to really, he's actually figured this out now. They have had some ugly wins, as you said, Jackson, but they've got the pieces there. And it's looking positive on the horizon for them. So
I've got Christian's five game stats up. So over the past five games, he's averaged 12.8 points, which doesn't seem like a lot. But then you look at the other numbers, he's been averaging 8.6 rebounds, with two of them being offensive. He leads Perth in rebounding in those five games, more than Pinder, more than Saar. And he has three assists, like, as a, you know, effectively power forward, sometimes small forward. Like, that's really good numbers.
And that was their problem too, their rebounds. They kept on hammering about, where's the rebounds? Where are they going to get rebounds on? Pinder's not doing it. Saar's not doing it. Who's got to do it? Doolittle has stepped up in pretty much every role they needed. That second-handed scorer, that rebounder, that defender. Doolittle has stepped up in all the holes that Perth had. And I don't think he's deserved enough credit for what he's done so far. So for Perth to continue to be successful, he needs to play consistent like he has been in the last five games. Then I could see it happening. I can see Perth being a finals team now, thanks to Christian Doolittle. He deserves his respect. Hopefully he keeps it up though, because then I'll probably talk bad about him in mid-Jan. So we'll see how it goes.
Well, here's the thing with Doolittle. Like, when he was signed, you look at where he played previously and you think, there's no way this guy should be an NBL player. There's no way this guy should be an NBL import.
And he was got released because of behavior issues with the coach in France.
Yeah, but like he played in Puerto Rico. I think he was going to play second division France. Like, they're not great, but he's turned out to be probably Perth's second most impactful player.
Like, no, he is. He is.
Like, I'd say, I saw this tweet, and it's like, who would have thought that Perth's big three, you know, in this five game win streak has been Bryce Cotton, Christian Doolittle, and Hyrum Harris?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's what it's been.
And it's true.
Yeah.
So hopefully we see more of that. Talk about Tassie quickly. We talked about their loss. They were able to back it up. Really entertaining game against Cairns. That game winner from Jack McVay was sensational. I don't know how that went in, but that's Jack McVay. That's what he does. You can tell if Jack McVay was got to get a game winner in his career. He's the type of guy to hit a game winner, isn't he? I could see it happening. I could picture him just hitting one of those shots. But Tassie get the win in overtime against Cairns. They back it up. They're just an odd team at the moment, Tassie. Like, they beat some good teams, and then they lose to ordinary teams like the Breakers at the moment. You got anything to say about Tassie? I just wanted to mention Jack McVay's game winner. I thought that was brilliant. I thought that game against Cairns was fun to watch. Crawford stepped up. You got anything to say about Tassie?
I do have one thing to say about Tassie, but it's not from the game you're talking about, and that is Big Will Magne.
Oh, yes. I was going to mention Magne. Sorry. Yes.
Having a 20-point double-double with, like, six blocks on return. I think it was six blocks. But was it
two-way,
four? Anyway.
I said it. Two-way Magne is back. He had in 16 minutes. 16 yeah. minutes and 11 seconds off the bench. He's on a minutes restriction still. This is absurd. 20 points, 13 rebounds, and 4 blocks in 16 minutes of action. Like, he was the sole purpose in them getting back into that game in the second half against New Zealand. I didn't think he'd get back to this stage, but he got back to it immediately. I'm surprised.
Granted, New Zealand are playing no somewhat small ball.
Yeah.
So, then that but second, still, it's great numbers to have.
Second game against Cairns, though, 6 points, 7 boards, 4 assists, a couple blocks as well in 22 minutes. So, I really want to see Magne back to full health because remember when we watched him against when he was last season with Brisbane before he went to the NBA, like he had like
yeah.
20 point double double with 5 blocks against teams like against guys like Andrew Bogut. And I think maybe he had a good game against Sean Long too, who arguably the two best centers in the league at that time, which led to him getting a 2-way deal and being named 2-way Magnate by the great Corey Williams. But it was just, I always thought the Pelicans, when he went to the Pelicans, it just, I don't know, something happened there, just ruined his kind of health. But I really want to see him back to prime form because he's an athletic big. There's not many bigs out there, local bigs specifically, that throw their bodies all around the hoop. It's probably why he's got so many injuries because he just throws his body around the hoop. You saw that game against the Breakers, that block against Mango, threw him to the ground, stared him down. That's what you love to see. There's not enough, you know, there's not enough athletic bigs that are Australian. You look at Pinder, you look at Magne, but other than that, I can't really think of, I don't know, is there any other Aussie athletic bigs I'm forgetting at the moment, Jackson?
Because
Reece Landau, they're not really that athletic.
Kane's like in terms of like true centers or guys who are
big, so I'd say, I wouldn't say Cooks. Big. Cooks is athletic, but he's not a true, I don't know, not a true five, can play to five.
Like the Makers, maybe, if you want to count them, but they're
just
not.
Just Thorn.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you, in the NBL though, who are fives that are athletic locals? Magne, Pinder, Humphreys is not that athletic.
The Kiwis aren't athletic, so.
So that's, Magne has such a special talent, and hopefully he gets back into form, and hopefully he finds a way back into a training camp of the Boomers. I think that's, he has the potential to be back in that squad again. How old is he, Magne? I think he's 25.
I think he's 24 or 25.
25? Yeah.
I'll get it up.
He is 25 years old. Yeah.
Yep.
So he turned 25 in June. So, hopefully he can live up to that marquee role in Tassie. And I think he's the key piece in getting it. Why they haven't been able to get over the line to a championship yet after two sensational seasons is they're missing that other big presence. And that is Will Magne. He's been injured in both those final series the last 2 years for Tassie. So you add him in, if he stays healthy finals time, who knows where Tassie could be. And finally, South East Melbourne. Are they pretenders? A loss to Adelaide. That was a terrible loss from the Phoenix. They should have never lost that game to Adelaide. Terrible second half from them. I never really had Alan Williams as the MVP candidate, but I think that's, as Copeland said, he puts the eggs out for Williams when he doesn't have a good performance. Like, his defense is not really existent in the NBL. And I think that plays a factor in this Phoenix squad. But you've got to give kudos to a guy like DJ Vasiljevic. He's been unreal for Adelaide. You watch that game, and Jackson, and it's on here.
Yes, I made it. I did. I'll just mention before talking about that game, it was really cool to see how Adelaide reacted to Daniel Johnson returning to Adelaide.
Yeah,
like he was cheered. He wasn't booed or anything, and they were actually a really good crowd.
Yeah.
But that second half, well, it was a game of like three things. So the first half, Southeast Melbourne dominated.
The end of the first quarter, 35-18. That was quarter time, Phoenix way.
And then the third quarter and then early in the fourth, Adelaide had this massive run.
Yeah.
And then Phoenix came back in like the last, I want to say 2 minutes to make it really close. And then they kind of threw it away at times. It was down to, I want to say 2 points in the final minute.
Yeah.
And Vasiljevic had massive game. Massive, not the 10 threes that I said on this podcast.
Close. 29 close. Points. 3-3.
But yeah, 3 doesn't even
29 points.
But I really like, even though Kel's out, so this rotation will look completely different. But I really like what Trent Flowers did in that game. 13-9 with one assist, one steal, and one block. Like that's what you want from him off the bench. Like, you just want him to show that he's 6'8" and can actually, and he's athletic and can go and grab rebounds. And he's a much better shooter than I thought he would be. Catch and shoot corner threes, that's what he does.
He shouldn't be playing point guard at all. He's just a good front court player. Play him on the perimeter well, catch and shoot a lot. That's what he's able to do. And 9 boards for a guy like him is I know it's a, that's what everyone was comparing him to this guy. Well, just himself was comparing himself to LaMelo Ball at the start of the year, going in saying, oh, he's the next LaMelo and Giddy, 6'8 point guard. But his rebounding does remind me a lot of how LaMelo rebounded in the NBL. And I guess now, just like his size, he's not a big body, I guess, that is going to box out. And he's able to just jump out of nowhere, grab the rebounds and push the pace. And I see a little bit of LaMelo Ball in the way he rebounds. So that's a positive for Flowers. I still think he deserves to get drafted, if not this year, maybe another year in the NBL. He can be a really big-time player in the future. But also another mention, Jacob Wiley, 17-14. Huge game from him. He needs to keep playing in that form if Adelaide have any chance of being a good team this year. So, hot takes. Are you ready?
Yep. This week's going to be bad because there aren't any games for us to say anything.
Aiden always gives us something absolutely bizarre, so we don't have him this week. I'll start off with mine. I know there's no games next week, but I say Cairns Taipans. I've been on the Cairns Taipans train for the start of the year. They will win the next 5 games in a row. I just have a hunch a winning streak from the Taipans is coming, and I say it's the next 5. Full team, squad fully back. I think they'll be winning some games.
So I actually tweeted out each team's next 5 games earlier this morning. So Cairns have Brisbane at home, Melbourne in Melbourne, Sydney at home, Adelaide in Adelaide, and then New Zealand at home. So, and you think that they'll win all of those games, including beating Melbourne United in Melbourne.
Yep. Cool. That's why it's a hot take.
Yep. Right. Dyson Daniels will start at the Paris Olympics. Go big or go home, right? He's been the Aussie with the second most minutes played in the NBA this season so far.
So are you starting him over Mills? Is that what you're saying?
Well, Mills has played absolutely nothing. And Brian Gorgian had an interview with Kane Pittman saying, we had a bunch of guys who didn't play a lot, going into the World Cup. And he wants to value guys who have played. So,
and Mills hasn't played a single minute this season in the NBA.
Yes. And when he played in preseason, he didn't play a lot. So my starting 5 would be Giddy. Geez, this is a tall lineup. Giddy, Daniels, Green with Simmons or insert power forward here and Landale.
Where's the scoring coming from? That's my question. That's my biggest worry about the Boomer squad.
Bro.
Like going into next year and in the future is who is going to be that. You look at France, they've got Evan Fournier. America always have a shooter if it's, a Booker or KD or whatever. Spain have, they've had, what's his name? Sergio
Rodriguez. Rudy Fernandez.
Rudy Fernandez is who I'm thinking of. Yeah, Rudy Fernandez. You look at those nations, they always have that top tier. So Germany, I guess, Dennis Schroeder. They had that top tier scorer that you know has got to get around 20 per game, and we do have that in Patty Mills, but he's not playing at the moment. And
I do, by the way, I do think Patty's making the team. I'm not saying he's not making the team.
Obviously Patty deserves to be in the team until he retires.
I do think so. It is time for him to take a
lesser
role.
But when you take that lesser role, who's stepping up to score? That's my biggest worry in this Boomer squad, because Daniels, like, he looked at his last few games, his career high in the NBA is 17 points. Like, that's not a lot. Giddey hasn't scored ball a lot this year as well. Green has been kind of average so far this year. If everyone thought he'd take a big step, he's not even starting for the Mavs at the moment. Simmons is injured again. Landale's not even getting minutes on the Rockets now. He's getting like 2 minutes a game. So, yeah.
Getting paid, though.
He is getting paid a lot. Maybe Joel Parise, our guy, go-to guy. I don't know.
Kick and pop, Joel Parise. That's what we're doing.
Yep. Right. Rapid fire with just you, Jackson. Here we go. Finish it off.
Yep.
Will Xavier Cooks be back in the NBL next season?
Yep.
This is not a yes or no. Who is the most athletic player currently in the NBL?
Jalen Galloway when he's healthy.
Okay. Should we allow teams to have three imports and two marquees going into next season?
As in two marquee locals?
Yeah, two marquee locals and three imports.
Yes.
Should the NBL have a developmental league running at the same time as the NBL season?
Yes. If they can afford it.
Is this Aaron Baines' final season?
I mean, you look at...
Yes or no?
I think it's Brisbane or nothing, so no. You look at Brisbane's roster and who they have under contract for next season.
It is interesting. What is he, 37 now?
Yeah, he'd be around that.
Hasn't shown a lot this year. Obviously, he's been suspended for half the season, but now he's playing behind Harrison. Interesting to see where he's
Rocco will
goes.
Get more minutes next year. Like,
yeah, that's what I mean. And Brisbane will probably want to play Rocco more. So it's like, where does... Yeah, be interesting. Anything to finish off with, Jackson, before we sign off?
Yes, Damian Martin's getting his jersey retired. 4th of February. I think he becomes the 7th or 8th Wildcat to get his jersey retired.
8th, yeah.
Last one was Sean Redditch last year. And really, really deserved of getting that acknowledgement. Probably the guy who's, you know, who's been retired, who deserved it the most.
Yeah, can I add another rapid question here?
Yep.
Does Greg Hyatt deserve his jersey retired?
No, because there's been other guys who've worn number 4 that have had a good impact on the Wildcats and not just Greg Hyatt.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
And what they tried to do with Travers before he ditched it for number 23 is to give number 4 to the next best WA prospect. And I'm hoping they do that next year with Alex Dukas. But as we know,
Henschel this year.
But Ben 10 works.
Yeah, you're right. Anyway, thank you guys for tuning in this week. Hopefully Aiden returns back from his bunker.
His hiatus,
his whatever. And hopefully we actually have things to talk about next week with no FIBA break. We'll try and find something to talk about next Tuesday anyway. So see you guys next time.